Hi, today I'm going to read the Bible, Holy Bible, Luke chapter 24, verse 1 to 12, and Acts chapter 10, verse 34 and 43. Luke chapter 24, Resurrection. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly, two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the man said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He's not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you why he was still with you in Galilee. The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of the sinful man, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." Then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. There was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women, because the words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away, wondering to himself what had happened. Acts chapter 10. Then Peter began to speak. "I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts men from every nation who fears him and do what is right. You know the message God sent to the people of Israel, telling the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. You know what has happened throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee, after baptism that John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him. We are witnesses of everything he did in the country of the Jew and in Jerusalem. They killed him by hanging him on a tree. But God raised him from the dead on the third day and caused him to be seen. He was not seen by all the people, but by witness whom God has already chosen, by us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify he was the one whom God appointed as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of the sin through his name."
Let's do this. Christ is risen. One more time. Christ is risen. Well done. Friends, good morning to you. On behalf of the Ling family, we want to wish all of you a blessed Easter holidays. So I hope you've been having a good time so far, enjoying the long weekend. Some of us will have family commitments. And so, yeah, I pray that it might be a good time of meeting up with your family. So this could also be a difficult time for people who have difficulty with family. So I'm aware that it could also be a stressful time. Those of you who are starting the holidays, journey mercy, travel well, and I pray that you have a good rest from all your busyness of... Actually, for parents, this could be a very busy time as well. Anyway, the Lord be with you. Today, of course, we remember the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so you remember that we have four Gospels in the Bible, four biographies of Jesus, four stories about Jesus that tells us that Jesus rose from the dead 3 days after he was seen crucified, after he was certified dead by Roman centurions, right? Soldiers who have seen a lot of people dying and dead people. I want to clarify that when I said that Jesus was broken for us, that was my Good Friday message, that of course was a metaphorical description. The Roman soldiers who were in charge of the crucifixion would often break the legs of the person who has been crucified. That way they die because they couldn't lift themselves up to breathe. But when they came to Jesus, they didn't have to do that. They didn't have to break any of Jesus' leg because Jesus was already dead. Instead, he took a spear and pierced Jesus' side, and we were told that blood and water flowed out. So Jesus was broken, but he didn't have any of his bones broken by his enemies. He did suffer, though, and there was a great suffering. So anyway, we have four gospel accounts telling us about the death and resurrection of Jesus. And there are slight differences in each of these accounts, but that's a good thing. That's a good thing because it shows that these individual accounts were independent eyewitnesses' account. Does that make sense? It means that each of them was seeing the same event, but from slightly different perspective, and they were experiencing slightly different things. And that is a good thing. It means that it wasn't forged. The important thing, I think, is that all four Gospels were pointing to the one event that really did happen, and it changed the world. And of course, when you look at all four accounts, there were a lot of similarities in those accounts. For example, all four accounts were consistent that, when Jesus rose from the dead, it was the first day after the Sabbath. Now, Jews celebrate their Sabbath on Saturday. And for this reason, that is why Christians consider Sunday so special. Historically, we've always come on Sunday and saw this day as a new day of the week. Because of the resurrection. Because here something happened that brought a new beginning, a new start in our relationship with God. So all four Gospels say, yep, it was after the Sabbath, early in the morning. All four Gospels also say it was the end of the Jewish Passover that Jesus rose from the dead. Of course, the exact date of the Jewish Passover changes from year to year, right? The Jewish calendar is based on a lunar calendar. And therefore, there are slight variations as to when the Passover is celebrated each year. And it is for this reason that different Christian denominations celebrate Easter on different days. The Eastern Church will celebrate Easter on another time. The Western Church has kind of more or less fixed it on a particular day. But again, that's okay too, right? That the exact date of Easter is not that important. What is important is that Jesus did rise up from the dead, according to eyewitnesses. Okay, so don't get fixed up on the fact that how come Christians celebrate Easter on different days? Or that because it was the end of the Passover. For Christians, every Sunday is a Resurrection Sunday. Every Sunday we proclaim that Jesus rose from the dead according to the eyewitnesses. Now, there were these eyewitnesses were, an important people. They were willing to die for their testimony of Jesus. And we have a few of these eyewitnesses. And again, the all four Gospels agreed that the first eyewitnesses were women. If you really want to forge this account in 1st century AD, you would not write this. This is papa. Why? Because in 1st century AD, women's testimony were not considered credible. Sorry, that's just... The Bible has got a very high view of women. This is just reflecting the culture that was at that time. Jesus' attitude and treatment of Women, therefore, were revolutionary, you know, way advanced in that sense. But we could see again, this is a good thing, right? Because the first witnesses of the resurrection were women. If you want to forge this account, you want it to seem credible, you would not do that. So this is the work of God. It has his fingerprint everywhere. The Bible tells us that God often chooses the foolish things of the world to shame the wise, the weak things to shame the strong, the lowly things, the despised things, so that the wisdom of God may be praised and not man. 1 Corinthians 1:21, 27. And so it's a little bit embarrassing that all four gospel accounts, all right, all embarrassing for the early preachers and apologists in the court of law, that all the early eyewitnesses were women. We can say a little bit more about these women, because they were not just ordinary women, they were women from Galilee. The significance of this is going to be obvious later. But have a look at the map up there. I've just got a little map up there. So right at the top of the map is kind of Galilee is up there, between Capernaum and, of course, Nazareth. Somewhere up there, you see the red arrow coming down. That's the ministry of Jesus. But the last day of Jesus, Jesus was kind of from his way, traveling down all the way to Jerusalem. He was very, very determined. He came all the way down to that Bethpage where he rode the donkey. Remember last Sunday, we all said, you know, yeah, that's the incident. That was the place where he was celebrated as a king. And so on his way, remember, he bypassed a Gentile area, the Samaritans. He didn't even stop. The Samaritans got very upset. He pushed all the way there to Bethpage, and he came riding in on a colt. And his disciples cried out with the words of 118, "Saved! Saved! Hosanna! Hosanna! Blessed is the King who has come in the name of the Lord." And so we know from last Sunday that here is the Lord's chosen king. Here is the one whom God has appointed, whom the people are looking forward to. And then very quickly, the people rejected him and they naked him. I know naked is an adjective, and some people got very upset if I butcher the English language. That's another way of saying, you know, they strip him. They strip him of his humanity. They treated him shamefully. They violated his body and did violence to it. He suffered. That is to say that while Jesus may not have been raped, Jesus may not have lost his job, got cancer, but there is a sense that he could understand what we're all going through. He represented humanity at this point in time. He died. And so by the end of Friday, it must have been very heavy and broken heart that these women of Galilee, right, they follow him all the way. Can you see the journey that they took with him until his very death? And then they followed him. They followed Joseph. Right? Joseph of Arimathea asked Pilate for the body, and Joseph placed Jesus in a tomb, a borrowed tomb. And then a large stone was rolled over the entrance of that tomb. We also know from other parts of the gospel, that the Pharisees requested the tomb to be guarded in order to prevent the disciples from stealing the body and claiming that Jesus did come back alive. And so Friday passed, Saturday passed, which was the Sabbath. And now it was the early hours of the new day, the day after Sabbath, and these women came. But when they came, they found no guards, no stone, and no body. No guards, no stone, no bodies. The stone had been rolled away. And then something supernatural happened, right? They were trying to figure this out, and then two men appeared to them. All four gospel accounts had different versions of this. Again, but it is a supernatural event. But listen to what this angelic being said, because here is the first Easter message, in my opinion. And so when we look at the account of Luke, Right, these women were frightened, rightfully. And the man said to the women, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen. Remember how he told you while he was with you in Galilee." See the place? These women were from Galilee. "The Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again. So, Galilee, he's not here. You know, I'm trying to imagine the faces of this angel when they proclaim this. It's very hard, right? Were they surprised? Were they kind of mocking? I don't know. But they began with this question, why? Why do you look for the living among the dead? In other words, this is the wrong place if you are looking for Jesus. Wrong place. Jesus is alive. Don't look for the living among the dead. Jesus said he was alive because Jesus is alive because he said he would be back in Galilee, ladies. That's where you come from. You know this. You were with him when Jesus was in his ministry, doing his ministry in the early parts of his days in Galilee. One gospel account records this for us. When they came together in Galilee, he said to them, "The Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of man." And so, that's what the angel said, right? "The Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day, he is going to rise again." So here we have the first Easter message proclaimed by the angelic being. Why are you looking for the living among the dead? Wrong place. Go back to Galilee. Go back to the words of Jesus. Go back to what he said he would do. And here is the proof. Now, last Sunday, I said that, you know, most people will agree that there are only three possible responses to Jesus. You either think that he's mad. Some people still think that today. There are theologians who believe that Jesus was altruistic in his belief. He really believed that he was the Messiah, except that he was mistaken. He has this grandiose idea, and then he died on a cross. He got crushed by reality. Some people did believe that. So he was mad. He had a wrong sense of reality. Some people thought that Jesus was bad. Right? He misled his disciples, and the disciples perpetuated this lie that Jesus rose from the dead. They falsified the story. They stole the body even though it was guarded. Now, you have to read the gospel to kind of decide for yourself. And my challenge for you today is, all of you, is you have to decide for yourself, is this true? Because if it is, it makes the world of a difference. For myself, I think the accounts are true. They're raw, but they are true. Because many of these disciples became preachers of this truth. Many of these disciples, like Peter, lost their life as a result of this truth. There must be something to it. These eyewitnesses were willing to die. Therefore, the logical conclusion, if Jesus is not mad, he's not bad, then he is who he claims to be, right? He is the Son of the living God. He is the judge. And so this is how the New Testament described this event. When Jesus rose from the dead, it proves that he is who he claims he is. Paul says in Romans 1:2-4, the gospel that God promised beforehand in the prophets and the Holy Scripture regarding who? His Son, who had two natures. According to his earthly life, he was a descendant of David, and who through the spirit of holiness was appointed a son of God, empowered by his resurrection from the dead. Jesus Christ, our Lord. God raised Jesus from the dead. It's God's activity, God's work to vindicate him. This is the Son of God. He is the Christ. Peter described it this way as well. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you. No resurrection, no hope, no future. That's why the resurrection is so significant. Because it tells us who Jesus is. Jesus is the Lord of the universe. He is crowned as the King. Remember we talk about the King who came to Jerusalem to be crowned? Where was he crowned? On the cross. But the Father vindicated him by raising him up from the dead. And then the Father also put everything under this Jesus as Lord and judge. Listen to these words again. I'll finish the sermon with these words. But because these words are for us. We are the Gentiles. As Peter preached in Acts 10, you know, he's preaching to Gentiles, people who are outside of the covenant. And I believe that God is speaking to us today. These are the words for you today. Acts chapter 10, verse 34. If you have a Bible, I've got it up on the screen for you. Then Peter began to speak. The same Peter who ran to the tomb. I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts from every nation, every tribe, tongues, and people group, the ones who fear him and do what is right. You know the message God sent to the people of Israel, right? So Peter's going back, talking about the story of Jesus now. You know, the announcing the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. You know what has happened throughout the province of Judea, beginning where? In Galilee. Galilee is the place where it all started, right? Beginning Galilee after the baptism John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with Holy Spirit and power, how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil because God was with him. We, collectively, Peter is saying that, the apostles, we are eyewitnesses of everything he did in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They killed him by hanging him on the cross. But God, right, here is the important but God raised him from the dead on the third day and caused him to be seen. He was not seen by all the people, but by witnesses from God, whom God already had chosen. By us, we ate with him, we drank with him after he rose from the dead. And then this Jesus commanded us to preach to the people, all people, to testify that he is the one that God has appointed as judge. If Jesus is not mad, if Jesus is not bad, then there's only one option left. He is Lord. And if he is Lord, then he is also judge. I love the description here that, I pray that this might happen. You know, as I preach this word, read this word to you, the Holy Spirit came on all who hear this message. I'm not expecting great outbreak of tongues or anything, but I believe the Holy Spirit wants to speak to your hearts. As he did those many years ago. That in Jesus' name, if you truly put your trust in him, you can today receive forgiveness. And that you can be drawn into his kingdom. Because the judge has forgiven you. I don't know about you, but I think that this is a true message. I think that it is a message that is worth living and dying for. So here is that message, isn't it? The first Easter message. Why are you looking for the living among the dead? Metaphorically speaking, many people are still doing that today. They're looking for the living among the dead. Right? They're looking for life, the meaning and purpose of life in the wrong places. Instead of looking for it in Jesus. I believe this is why as a society, modernity itself, this explains our neurosis, why we're going crazy. Because we constantly look for the wrong things in the wrong places. We look for the living among the dead. You know, they say that there are two fundamental questions we ask in our life. The questions are, who am I? Right, what's my identity? And then we ask, whose am I? Where do I belong? It is in Jesus that we find both answers, you know, the answer to both questions, isn't it? This song is a bit dated, but again, you know, I grew up in a culture in a culture where, you know, is Graham Stewart around? Graham, whenever I bring up an old song, I look at Graham Stewart because I think Graham Stewart and I kind of have the same taste and generation and song. But anyway, when I was growing up as a young Christian, this is a song that makes a lot of sense to me because it asked the important question in life. It's a song that goes, I'll read you the lyrics, right? It really talks about what are you chasing for in life, right? Are you tired of chasing pretty rainbows? Are you tired of spinning round and round? Wrap up all the shattered dreams of your life and at the feet of Jesus, lay them down. So give them all. Yeah, Peter, you... Give them all. Give them all to Jesus and he will turn your sorrow into joy. Give them all to Jesus and he will turn your pain into joy. Now, verse 2 says, he never said you'll only see sunshine, right? Jesus never promised only the good things. He never said there'll be no rain. He only promised a heart full of singing at the very thing that once brought pain. That's Resurrection Sunday, turning from pain to joy. So give them all, right? Give them all to Jesus, shattered dreams, wounded hearts, broken toys. Give them all to Jesus. Friends, today you can surrender all to Jesus. Shattered dreams, wounded hearts, and broken toys. And it really doesn't matter if today is the first time you're doing this or the 100th time you're doing it. It's the same process every Sunday. When we come before our God, we come to surrender it all to Jesus once again. Jesus paid it all. Jesus conquered it all. Christ is reason, and God's people say, he is reason indeed. Let me pray. Lord, we indeed are tired of chasing rainbows, are tired of chasing things that doesn't have a reality to it. And so, Lord, today we come and want to surrender everything to you. Take our lives, take our brokenness, take our broken toys, our broken dreams, because we freely surrender those to you. And in return, we ask for you yourself to be present among us by your Spirit. And as we go out from this place, Lord, we're going to have this conversation with so many other people about what is the meaning of Easter. Easter is about hope. Easter is about new life. We ask for your grace in Jesus' name. Amen.